سورة لقمان آية نمبر 20. ألم تروا أن الله سخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Do you not see that Allah has made subject to you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and amply bestowed upon you His favors, both apparent and unapparent? But of the people is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or an enlightening book. Meaning people argue about Allah, who Allah is, what Allah wants, whether He is involved in our lives or not, without having an ounce of real knowledge. And they don't even have an enlightening book, Kitab-i-Munir. And when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, if you don't have any revelation, you don't have any special knowledge of the unseen, then come to what Allah has revealed and follow it, they say. Rather, we will follow that upon which we found our fathers. Even if Satan was inviting them to the punishment of the blaze, Allah asks a question. And whoever submits his face, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. And whoever submits himself completely to Allah while he is a doer of good, a muhsin, one who works at the level of excellence, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. And to Allah will be the outcome of all matters. This is the way to hold on to Allah. And whoever has disbelieved, let not his disbelief grieve you. To us is their return, and we will inform them of what they did. Indeed, Allah is knowing what is within the breasts. We grant them enjoyment for a little, then we will force them to a massive punishment. And if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would surely say Allah. Say, all praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, bal aktharuhum la ya'lamun, but most of them do not know. What do they not know? That everything belongs to Allah. He is the one who has created it, and all worship belongs to Him. Allah says, to Allah alone belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth. Indeed, Allah is free of need and praiseworthy. He is absolute. He is the owner of praise. And if whatever trees upon the earth were pens, and the sea was ink, replenished thereafter by seven more seas, the words of Allah would not be exhausted. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. The commands of Allah would not be exhausted. The designs of Allah would not be exhausted. Allah says, your creation and your resurrection will not be but as of a single soul, meaning the recreation and resurrection of one or all of the spirits is accomplished with equal ease by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of all of the human beings, to create one and to create all is the same to Allah. Allah says, indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing. Allah knows how we react to His ayat. Allah can see how we react to His reminders. Alam tara, do you not see? That Allah causes the night to enter the day, and causes the day to enter the night, and has subjected the sun and the moon, each running its course for a specified term, and that Allah, with whatever you do, is acquainted. That is because Allah is the truth, and that what they call upon other than Him is falsehood, and because Allah is the Most High, the Grand. Do you not see that ships sail through the sea by favor of Allah, that He may show you of His signs? Indeed, in that are signs for everyone patient and grateful. And when waves come over them like canopies, they make dua, they supplicate to Allah, sincere to Him in religion, مُخْلُسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. But when He delivers them to the land, there are some of them who are moderate in faith. And none reject our signs except everyone treacherous and ungrateful. Allah shows us His wonders, the wonders of His creation, when ships sail on the sea. But it is a difficult trip. Just like life is with Islam, it is sometimes challenging. Allah says you have to be patient and you have to be grateful because you are going to reach the other end. And then Allah gives us this example again, that people who are on this ship, and they are faced with a storm, they suddenly cry out only to Allah. They make their deen khalis to Allah. But when He delivers them, some of the people are moderate in faith, meaning they don't commit shirk when they land, but neither do they come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this racking and difficult experience. Allah says, and none rejects our signs except everyone who is treacherous and ungrateful. Only those people reject the signs of Allah, of having boarded the ship and then being faced with the storm and then being saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reject it because they are treacherous to Allah and they are ungrateful. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum wakhshaw yawman la yajzi walidun an walidi wala mauludan huwa jazin an walidi shay'a. O mankind, fear your Lord and fear a day when no father will help his son, nor a son will avail his father at all. Indeed, the promise of Allah is truth. So let not the worldly life delude you, and be not deceived about Allah by the deceiver. No one will come to the help of another person. Allah says, indeed, Allah alone has knowledge of the hour, and sends down the rain, and knows what is in the wombs. And no soul perceives what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul perceives in what land it will die. Indeed, Allah is knowing and acquainted. The Prophet ﷺ said that in this ayah are the five keys to the unseen that no one knows except Allah. Surat As-Sajda. Sajda means the prostration. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. This is the revelation of the book, about which there is no doubt from the Lord of the worlds. Or do they say He invented it? Rather, it is the truth from your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you may warn a people to whom no warner has come before you, so perhaps they will be guided. There had been a long gap since Ismail alayhi salam, and they had completely forgotten their religion, so Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Quraysh of Makkah. It is Allah who created the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them in 6 days. Then He established Himself above the throne. You have not besides Him any protector or any intercessor, so will you not be reminded? He arranges each matter from the heaven to the earth. Then it will ascend to Him in a day, the extent of which is 1,000 years of those which you count. ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. That is a knower of the unseen and the witnessed, the exalted in might, the merciful, who perfected everything which He created and began the creation of man from clay. We don't know the time difference, the time span between our existence and the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah says He is a knower of the unseen and the witnessed, what we don't know and we cannot grasp, and what we do know and what we can grasp by the permission of Allah. After mentioning clay, Allah says, then He made His man's reproduction out of the extract of a liquid distained. Then He proportioned him and breathed into him from His created soul, and made for you hearing and vision and hearts, meaning intellect. Little are you grateful. And they say, when we are lost, disintegrated within the earth, will we indeed be recreated in a new creation? Rather, they are in the meeting with their Lord disbelievers. They simply don't want to believe that because they do not want to be questioned. Say, the angel of death will take you who has been entrusted with you. Then to your Lord you will be returned. If you could but see when the criminals are hanging their heads before their Lord, saying, Our Lord, we have seen and heard, so return us to the world. We will work righteousness. Indeed, we are now certain. Inna muqinun. And if we had willed, Allah says, we could have given every soul its guidance, but the word from me will come into effect that I will surely fill hell with jinn and people altogether. So taste punishment because you forgot the meeting of this your day. Indeed, we have accordingly forgotten you. and taste the punishment of eternity for what you used to do. Only those believe in our verses who, when they are reminded by them, fall down in sajda, fall down in prostration, and exalt with praise of their Lord, and they are not arrogant. This is the ayah of sajda. Their sides, Allah says, part, meaning arise from their beds. They supplicate their Lord in fear and aspiration, and from what we have provided them, spend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Qiyamul Layl. They get up in the middle of the night because they want to be close to Allah. They want to seek forgiveness. They call upon Him with fear and hope. And then they spend during the day when they wake up. Allah says, and no soul knows what has been hidden for them of comfort for eyes as reward for what they used to do. Allah talks about getting up for tahajjud. But how do we even get up for fajr? What is our reaction to fajr? Subhanallah, may Allah increase our faith. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah encourages us, get up, because you have no idea the amazing rewards that I have in store for you. Allah says, then is one who was a believer like one who was defiantly disobedient? They are not equal. As for those who believed and did righteous deeds, for them will be the gardens of refuge as hospitality for what they used to do. But as for those who defiantly disobeyed, their refuge is the fire. Every time they wish to emerge from it, they will be returned to it, while it is said to them, taste the punishment of the fire which you used to deny. And we will surely let them taste the nearer punishment, short of the greater punishment, that perhaps they will return. Remember in the earlier surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that some of the calamities that befall people in this dunya are simply a part of the future punishment of the hereafter. And who is more unjust than one who is reminded of the verses of his Lord? Then he turns away from them? Indeed, we, from the criminals, will take retribution. And we certainly gave Moses the scripture, so do not be in doubt over his meeting. And we made it, meaning the Torah, guidance for the children of Israel. The meeting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's meeting Musa alayhi salam on the night of Al-Miraj, the ascent. And we made from among them leaders guiding by our command when they were patient and when they were certain of our signs. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. Has it not become clear to them how many generations we destroyed before them as they walk among their dwellings? Indeed, in that are signs. Then do they not hear? Have they not seen that we drive the water in clouds to barren land and bring forth thereby crops from which their livestock eat and they themselves? Then do they not see? And they say, when will this conquest be, if you should be truthful? The reference here is to the decision or judgment. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of conquest, قُلْ يَوْمَ الْفَتْحِ لَا يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيمَانُهُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of conquest, the belief of those who had disbelieved will not benefit them, nor will they be reprieved. It will be too late. So turn away from them and wait. Indeed, they are waiting. Suratul Ahzab. Ahzab means the companies or the combined forces. It refers to the alliance of the disbelieving Arab tribes against the Muslims in Medina for the battle called Al-Ahzab or Al-Khundak, the trench. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu ittaqillaha wa la tuti'il kafirina wal munafiqin. Inna Allaha kana 'aliman hakima. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fear Allah and do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing and wise. This surah was revealed in Medina after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. The people started coming to see him, Jewish tribes, the heads of their tribes, the kuffar, all polytheists, all would come to see him. Some of them would pose as Muslims hypocritically. They were hypocrites. There was no faith in their hearts. The Prophet ﷺ used to treat all of them warmly, and he would welcome them, and sometimes he would ignore some of the mistakes that they did. All of this was because of his welcoming nature and his hospitality and his great desire to have peace in that society. So because of his soft nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ, "O Prophet, fear Allah and do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Indeed, Allah is ever-knowing and wise, and follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord. Indeed, Allah is ever with what you do acquainted, and rely upon Allah, and sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. Allah has not made for a man two hearts in his interior." As a connector with the previous ayat, it means that man cannot have loyalty, cannot love two opposing parties at the same time. In order to do that, you would have to have two different hearts, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow a believer to love him and to also have someone else's love, his enemy's love, in the same heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not love the hypocrites. He neither loved the disbelievers, but he truly wanted sincerely for them to believe. And because of that reason, he would put up with a lot from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says after this ayah, where he says Allah has not made for a man two hearts in his interior, he says, "And he, Allah, has not made your wives, whom you declare unlawful, your mothers." This is a reference to the practice of zihar in Jahiliya, in a pre-Islamic period. By the expression, "You are to me like the back of my mother," a man would take an oath against approaching one's wife, meaning having intimacy with one's wife. And this was supposed to be a way of punishing the wife or keeping her within the household but not treating her as a wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that practice after Islam came. So Allah says a man does not have two hearts in his interior. You cannot have a wife as your mother and you cannot treat your mother as your wife. These two things are impossible and opposite of one another. So Allah has forbidden that practice. And then he says, "And he has not made your claimed adopted sons your true sons. That is merely your saying by your mouths. But Allah says the truth, and he guides to the right way." Adopted children cannot be a direct inheritor. They can be given something from the one-third allowable in Islam, the one-third that you can allocate to anyone you wish to, but they cannot be direct inheritors, just like the sons who are from your blood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And call them," meaning the adopted children, "by the names of their fathers. It is more just in the sight of Allah. But if you do not know their fathers, then they are still your brothers in religion and those entrusted to you. And there is no blame upon you for that in which you have erred, but only for what your hearts intended. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful." This particular ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has separated the adopted sons from the real sons, has relevance to a particular event in the same surah that we will read after a few ayat, inshallah. Allah then says, "The Prophet is more worthy of the believers than themselves," meaning he is more worthy of their obedience and loyalty, and he is more concerned for them than they are for one another. And Allah continues, "And his wives are in the position of their mothers." So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his wives, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mothers. Allah then says, "And those of blood relationship are more entitled to inheritance in the decree of Allah than the other believers and the emigrants, except that you may do to your close associates a kindness through bequest. That was in the book inscribed." Allah has preserved this command in Allahul Mahfuz. Remember when the emigrants moved to Medina, the Ansar gave up half of their properties to them, or a lot of their properties. and also made them inheritors in their wills. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that relationship is not needed anymore. Islam is pretty much established, the emigrants are now established, and now the wills need to be changed so that blood relatives inherit rather than anyone else. Allah says, and mention O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we took from the prophets their covenant, and from you, and from Noah, and Abraham, and Moses, and Jesus, the son of Mary. And we took from them a solemn covenant, that he, Allah, may question the truthful about their truth. Allah will ask the prophets what they conveyed to their people, and what response they received. The truthful may refer to those who believed in the message conveyed by them, and then they imparted it to others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question those who confirmed the messages of their prophets and who carried on the work of the prophets. Allah says, and he has prepared for the disbelievers a painful punishment. Ya ayyuhallazina amanuskuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O you who have believed, remember the favor of Allah upon you when armies came to attack you and we sent upon them a wind and armies of angels you did not see, and ever is Allah of what you do seeing. This and the next few ayat refer to the Battle of Ahzab, also known as the Battle of Khunduq, in which the different tribes of Arabia, led by the Quraysh, invaded Medina. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defended the city by digging a trench around it upon the suggestion of Salman al-Farisi. This battle occurred in the fourth year after Hijrah. 20 men from the Jewish tribe of Banu Nazir and tribe of Abu Wail reached Makkah. They met with the Quraysh chiefs and decided to start a war against the Muslims. The Jews said to the Quraysh, your religion is better than the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, despite the fact that they were the people of the book. So they colluded and then attacked Medina. Now a trench was an innovative idea in the Arabian Peninsula. So the kuffar were dumbfounded and it resulted in sort of a stalemate. They set up their tents and everything beyond the trench. There was some one-on-one fighting between the Sahaba and the polytheists, but a full-scale war could not take place because of the trench. Both parties kept fighting by throwing arrows and stones. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Jibril alaihi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and gave him good news that the enemy would be scattered by a wind. When it became dark, the eyes of the polytheists were filled with dust and dirt. Their pots and pans started to fly and their tents were uprooted. The horses and camels started to hit each other, bump into each other. People could not see anything. There was fear and panic among the enemy soldiers. They were astonished because this was a winter wind. The Quraysh and then the other tribes started to pack up and leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Muslims were victorious. So Allah reminds them of this favor and says, O you who have believed, remember the favor of Allah upon you when armies came to attack you and we sent upon you a wind and armies of angels you did not see, and ever is Allah of what you do seeing. Remember when they came at you from above you and from below you, and when eyes shifted in fear and hearts reached the throats, and you assumed about Allah various assumptions. There the believers were tested and shaken with a severe shaking. They were running out of food. They had started starving because the battle took 21 days. Medina was under siege for a long time. Allah says, and remember when the hypocrites and those in whose hearts is disease said, Allah and His Messenger did not promise us except delusion. And when a faction of them said, O people of Yathrib, Medina, there is no stability for you here, so return home. And a party of them asked permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, indeed our houses are exposed, meaning unprotected, while they were not exposed. They did not intend except to flee. And if they had been entered upon from all its surrounding regions, and fitna, disbelief, had been demanded of them, they would have done it, and not hesitated over it except briefly. And they had already promised Allah before not to turn their backs, meaning to run away, and ever is a promise to Allah that about which one will be questioned. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never will fleeing benefit you if you should flee from death or killing. And then if you did, you would not be given enjoyment of life except for a little. Remember in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes such hypocrites, saying that when there is thunder and lightning, they place their fingers in their ears from fear of death. When Islam demands steadfastness, patience, sacrifice, the hypocrites always flee, and they would change their religion, compromise their religion in a flash in face of oppression. Allah says, say, who is it that can protect you from Allah if He intends for you an ill or intends for you mercy? And they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or any helper. Already Allah knows the hinderers among you and those hypocrites who say to their brothers, come to us and do not go to battle except for a few. By all of this negative speech and their complaints, they would dissuade others from supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they would tell others, come away from the trench, come away from the battle, do not join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indisposed toward you, meaning unwilling to offer any help, because they did not really believe. Allah says, and when fear comes, you see them looking at you, their eyes revolving like one being overcome by death. But when fear departs, they lash you with sharp tongues, indisposed toward any good. Those have not believed, so Allah has rendered their deeds worthless, and ever is that for Allah easy. They think the companies have not yet withdrawn, meaning in their excessive fear, the cowardly hypocrites could not believe that the enemy forces had been defeated. Allah says, and if the company should come again, they would wish they were in the desert among the Bedouins, inquiring from afar about your news. And if they should be among you, they would not fight except for a little. There has certainly been for you in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an excellent pattern. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ. For anyone whose hope is in Allah, وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ, and the last day, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and who remembers Allah often. In the context of these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the believers to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of hunger, tied a stone around his waist with a piece of cloth to reduce his stomach so that he would not feel hungry. Subhanallah. And he kept on working hard, and he was among those people who were digging the trench. He didn't just give orders, he actually went in and did the hard work himself, along with everyone else. He trusted Allah, he made dua to Allah, he encouraged the believers, kept calm and kept them positive. This is why Allah says that you should follow his example if you truly hope in Allah and you hope in the last day. And also, and in particular, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. One who remembers Allah much, often. Somebody who does the tasbih of Allah often. Someone who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. That person would definitely follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This brings us to the generality of this ayah. It is not possible that someone would mention Allah and would not want to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his beloved and is his beloved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself praises the character, the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his akhlaq, his khuluq. So Allah tells us, if you truly want to see me, if you want to meet me, and if you truly hope for good in akhirah, and you claim that you mention Allah much, then you have to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But which part of his personality? All of it. How was he as a slave of Allah? His obedience to Allah. His worship of Allah. His tawakkul upon Allah. His trust and reliance upon Allah. His patience. His humility. His beautiful manners. His kindness. His forgiveness. His leniency. How he was as a husband. How he was as a father. How he was as a friend. How he was as a statesman, as a leader. How he was as a religious leader. How he was as a political leader. How he was as a motivator. How he was as a unifier. For anyone whose hope is in Allah and the last day, and who remembers Allah often, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is an excellent pattern. Allah then says, and when the believers saw the companies, the Ahzab, who were attacking them, they said, this is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us. And Allah and His Messenger spoke the truth. They were expecting it. And it increased them only in faith and acceptance. So the opposite happened to the hypocrites. They became impatient and angry and restless. The believers, on the other hand, increased in patience, increased in iman. Among the believers are men, Allah says, true to what they promised Allah. Meaning, even in the face of this extremely difficult situation and this hardship, they kept the promise to Allah and they kept steadfast upon Islam and they kept supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among them is he who has fulfilled his vow to the death, and among them is he who awaits his chance. Allah says, some people claimed that they love Allah, but then they fulfill the vow by giving their lives. By giving their lives, by shahada, by martyrdom, they proved that they had claimed the truth. And then others were waiting because they continued to fight in the cause of Allah and they wanted a chance to prove to Allah that they truly believed. What were they waiting for? They were also waiting for martyrdom. Allah says, and they did not alter the terms of their commitment by any alteration, that Allah may reward the truthful for their truth, and punish the hypocrites if He wills, or accept their repentance. Indeed, Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. And Allah repelled those who disbelieved in their rage, not having obtained any good. And sufficient was Allah for the believers in the battle, and ever is Allah powerful and exalted in might. And He brought down those who supported them among the people of the scripture from their fortresses and cast terror into their hearts, so that a party, that is their men, You killed, and a party You took captive, meaning their women and children. And He caused You to enter their land and their homes and their properties, and a land which You have not trodden, meaning some land owned by the Bani Israel that would be overtaken by Muslims in future conquests. Allah says, and ever is Allah over all things competent. The Muslims overtook the fortresses of the Jews of Banu Quraysa, who had violated their treaty with the Muslims, had gone behind their back and banded with their enemies against them. In effect, a large portion of the Bani Israel, the Jews, were dispersed from the land, and Allah gave their property and land and homes to the Muslims as victory. Truly, there is no power except with Allah. The next few ayat, 28, 29 and 30 inshallah, will be studied along with Juz number 22. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.